今天我们到了马可福音的第22讲。
Now we come to the Gospel of Mark, the 22nd sermon.
那我们知道这个马可福音越到后面的时候，这列福音列车就慢慢的减缓了速度。
We know as we get to the end of the book of Mark that it actually decelerates like a gospel train.
我们上周读的经文加上今天读的经文都是在一天之内发生的。
The passage we read last week, as well as the passage today, all happened in one day.
就是在最后那个星期的星期二的时间。
Is that last week on Tuesday?
那在这一天当中发生很多的事情。
Many things happened that day.
首先我们上周讲到说呢，祭司长、文士和这个长老，就是在以色列当中带领的这些的领袖们，集体来到耶稣的面前来问耶稣，你的权柄从哪里来？来挑战他。
All the religious leaders, scribes, elders, and high priests all came together to ask Jesus, "Where did your power, authority come from?"
然后耶稣回答他们的问题，给他们讲了一个比喻以后，他们就走了，就不敢再问他了。
And then after Jesus responded to them, and then they left.
但事情没完呢，他们又派了法利赛人和一些文士来设陷阱，要挑战耶稣。
But then things didn't end there. They actually sent some Pharisees and also scribes to come ask Jesus additional questions.
所以圣经明明讲这些人来是为了什么？为了用话语抓住他的话柄来陷害他。
And so the Bible told us clearly that they came to trap him.
那显然这个问题是精心设计的。
And actually this question was carefully crafted.
到底应不应该纳税给凯撒，罗马的皇帝？
Should we pay taxes to Caesar, the emperor of Rome?
耶稣怎么回答都有可能会落入到他们的陷阱当中。
No matter which way Jesus answered, he could fall into their trap.
但是我们的主是充满智慧的主，没有落入到他们的陷阱当中。
But our Lord is full of wisdom and he didn't fall into their traps.
之后这批人走了以后，撒都该人又来了。
And then after that, that group of people left, then the Sadducees came.
这个问题显然也是他们早就想过好多次的这些问题。
And you can see that this question was they thought about many times before.
因为他们不相信人有灵魂，死后有人的复活的事哈，所以他精心设计了一个故事，然后来挑战耶稣。
Because they didn't believe that people have souls and would resurrect, so they crafted this story to ask Jesus.
那耶稣都没有回避这些问题。
Jesus didn't avoid those questions.
有问必答。
He answered every question.
而且直接击中他们问题的那个核心。
And also hit on the center, the focus of those questions.
耶稣的答案一出来，他们都无话可说。
And once the answers came, they could not respond.
但是还没有完啊，这个文士又来了啊，又来拷问耶稣。
And then it didn't end there. The scribes came and asked Jesus.
那律法当中什么是最大的？
What are the greatest commandments in all the laws?
当这所有的人都来到耶稣这里，用各样的难题来问耶稣的时候，耶稣都回应了他们。
When all these people came and asked Jesus difficult questions, Jesus responded to all of them.
到最后，圣经有一句话讲说，再也没有人敢问他任何问题了。
And then in the end, the Bible said no one dare ask him any question anymore.
好，他们没有问题问了，耶稣有问题要问他们了。
They didn't have questions to ask Jesus, but now Jesus have a question for them.
所以今天我们读这一长段是在星期二的时候，主耶稣基督最后一次公开的向人讲论天国的道理。
So this is the last time that Jesus openly preached about the heavenly kingdom on Tuesday.
到了下一章13章的一开始就告诉说耶稣离开了圣殿。
And then in chapter 13, it talks about Jesus leaving the temple.
而且耶稣一旦离开了圣殿，这一次从此就再没有回到这个圣殿的里面。
Once Jesus left the temple that time, he never re-entered it again.
就是在这一天的最后的时候呢，耶稣又在奉献的地方来看这个人的奉献。
And then also on that same day, Jesus also looked at how people offer the money.
那寡妇的奉献成了整个耶稣在单独的向门徒讲论之前公开讲论的最后的一个记载。
The description of the offering of the widow became the last illustration in Jesus' public teaching.
我们看起来这五段的圣经好像都是相对独立的。
When we look at these five passages, they seemed independent.
但今天当我们把它放在一起的时候，我们发觉这五件事情是连在一起的。
Yet when we look at all five together, we find that they are interrelated.
当抵挡耶稣的这些以色列人的领袖们试着用各样方法来挑战耶稣的权柄的时候，耶稣在做什么呢？
When those opposing Jesus was trying to challenge him, what was Jesus doing?
耶稣不仅没有回避他们的问题。
Jesus didn't avoid the questions.
耶稣不仅是针对他们的问题，回应了他们心中的这些的挑战。
Not only did Jesus respond directly to the challenges.
而且在这个过程当中，耶稣在用一个很重要的主题在贯穿这些事件，让门徒、让世人都清楚一个很重要的道理。
Jesus actually taught them a very important principle that kind of go through all these passages.
这个道理就是上帝从始至终在人的生命当中掌权。
It's that God from the beginning to the end was sovereign among people.
我们一个一个来看。
Let's look at them individually.
我们先看第一个，这个他们来挑战耶稣说，当不当纳税给该撒呢？
And first, should people pay taxes to Caesar?
如果耶稣说不要纳税，糟糕了啊！罗马人出来会抓耶稣的。
If Jesus said no, don't pay taxes, then the Romans would come arrest him.
因为他公开的反抗这个罗马的统治了，这是要治罪的。
Because he openly opposed the reign of the Romans.
如果耶稣简单的回答说当纳税的话，那那些反抗罗马人的犹太人就要出来来反对耶稣了。
And if he said yes, you should pay taxes, then those people.Among the Jews, will then come out and oppose Jesus.
所以耶稣这个时候就问了他们一个问题：你们有没有钱币
？And he asked them, "Do you have the authority?"
然后拿到一枚钱币的时候，问说：这钱币上的像和号是谁的
？He said, "Do you have a coin?" And he said, "Whose portrait and whose inscription was on the coin?"
所以这一段虽然讲的很简略，但实际上耶稣用两个三段论帮助人明白。上帝在人的生命当中拥有绝对的主权。
And even though it's a very simple argument, he uses three stages to describe how God has final authority among men.
你知道这个三段论是有大前提、小前提，然后最后有个结论，对吧
？These three sections really about a major premise and a minor premise, and then a conclusion.
所以第一个三段论的大前提就是说，印有头像和名号的那个物件。它是有主人的哈，主权就是归于的这个印和像所代表的那个人。
The major premise is that anything that has a inscription and also a portrait on it, then that thing belongs to the person that the inscription is referring to.
小前提就是他们回应的哈，耶稣问说这钱币上的像和号是谁的，他们说是该撒的。
And the minor premise is that whose portrait and inscription was on the coin, and that is Caesar.
好。那得出的结论就是，啊，这个银钱盖着凯撒的像和号的银钱是归给凯撒的。
And so the conclusion is that the coin that has Caesar's inscription and portrait on it should be given to Caesar.
金钱是这样，这个财务也是这样。
Money is like that, and our finance like that.
在古代的时候，这个大财主如果拥有很多的牛、很多的羊啊，他们会在自己的牛羊上面怎么样盖印？
So in the past, we had these rich men who owns a lot of livestock, and they would brand them.
我们今天也是哈，我们如果家里的藏书很多哈，我们都喜欢在我们自己的书上盖上自己的印。
And today it's like that. If we have a lot of books in our library, then we would like to put our seal on them.
盖上印的那个物件，别人看到就知道它的主人是谁。
With a seal on it, people can look at it and say who owns it.
所以这个很容易明白。
So that's very easy to understand.
所以耶稣紧接着他得出一个结论，实际上他没有明讲，但是这代表出第二个三段论。
And then that brought out the second three-stage argument.
大前提还是一样的哈，哪个物件上印着谁的像、谁的名号，那这个物件就归给他的这个像和号所代表的主人。
And the major premise is the same, that the thing that has the inscription and the portrait, That thing belonged to that particular owner.
小前提是这些犹太人都不用讲都知道的。
And the minor premise is really doesn't have to be described because all the Jews knew it.
因为在创世纪的第一章就讲了，人是照着谁的形象造的呢？是照着上帝的形象造的。
Because it's all described in the Genesis that who was man created in the image of? They were created in the image of God.
不分男人女人。
Doesn't matter man or woman.
不分小孩还是老人。
Young or old.
不分是哪国的，不管你的皮肤的颜色是什么，你只要是人，上面就带着上帝的印记，就是上帝的形象。
Doesn't matter what country or city that you all belong and made in the image of God.
所以呢，钱是要归给上这个凯撒，但是这个人，我们这个人是属于神的，我们应该归给神。
And so money belongs to Caesar, but the man belongs to God.
所以这个事情，耶稣不仅是回应他们的问题，躲过了他们的陷阱，这讲的没有错啊，所有的人都能接受哈。当应该纳税给政府哈，所以钱财物要当归的要归给这个凯撒，但是人，你这个奉献的人，连你这个人都是属于上帝，你有没有考虑到这一层？我们应该把我们自己献给我们的主人，我们这个人是属于上帝的。
So not only did Jesus avoid the trap, he also clearly explained that money should be given to Caesar.But man should be offered to God.
上帝对人拥有完全绝对的主权。
God has absolute authority over man.
只要我们是被上帝所创造的，这一点是没有区别的。
So as long as we're all created by God and there is no distinction.
两千年是如此，两千年之后，你我也是这样。
2000 years ago, it was like that. 2000 years later, you and I are same.
我们是有主人的。
We have a master.
我们有一天要来到主人的面前要交账的。
We have to give account in front of a master one day.
而且每个人只有一个真正的主人，就是造我们的那位上帝。
We only have one real master, and that's the God who created us.
我们要随时预备好，准备去见我们这位主人。
We have to be prepared to see him at any time.
你预备好了吗？
Are you prepared?
第二件事情，这些人在问说，到底有没有复活的事情
？And then the second passage, people ask, is there really a resurrection?
显然，问的人他们是不相信有复活的。
Obviously, those who ask didn't believe that resurrection is real.
所以他们故意设计这个故事，说有七个兄弟哈都娶一个女人。
So they fabricated the story about seven brothers married the same woman.
那七个婚姻都没有生出孩子来。
Didn't have any children for the seven marriages.
那将来这些人都死了，如果真的有复活的话，那到复活以后的世界，那这个女人到底是谁的妻子呢
？After they all resurrected, who the wife, which husband does she belong to?
撒都该人相信哈，人只有精神的存在，没有这个身体的复活。
Sadducees believe that we may have a soul, but we don't ever resurrect.
人死了以后能够留下的就是我们所谓的精神的遗产。
And so, only thing that you can leave behind is your heritage.
你是这个流芳百世也好，还是遗臭万年也好，就看你生前做的事情给后人带了什么影响。
You may have a great legacy for many generations, or you may be notorious for all ages, and that's what you leave behind.
这跟今天很多相信无神论的人、相信人死如灯灭的人的想法是一样的。
So actually, it's very similar to a lot of atheists and people who believe that nothing leaves behind.
但圣经告诉我们是不同的。
But the Bible tells us it's different.
是我们生前所做的事情会对后代的人、这个世界产生好的或者坏的影响。
It's true that what we do in this life can leave a legacy, whether good or bad, to the later generations.
但是死亡不是我们生命真正的终结。
But death is not the final ending of our lives.
每个人都会复活的。
Everyone will be resurrected.
有些人复活会被定罪的。
Some will be judged after they resurrect.
那得救的人复活以后呢，是要进入到永生的。
Those who believe after they resurrect will enter into eternal life.
不管你生前对这个世界所造成的是好的还是坏的影响，人的灵魂是不灭的。
Doesn't matter whether you have a good,heritage or bad one, that you will be resurrected.
每个人都要进入到将来那一个复活以后要进入的那个世界当中。
You will enter into a world after resurrection.
当然这个后面的世界是有两个不同的归属。
But yet, there are two different endings in that life.
所以耶稣在这里哈指出他们说，为什么你们不能够相信这个复活的事情呢？有两个原因。第一个是因为你们不明白圣经。
Jesus explained the two reasons they didn't believe in resurrection is because number one, they don't believe in the Bible.
圣经，他们读的圣经，他们这个撒都盖人只相信摩西五经。
So the Jews only believe in the Pentateuch.
所以耶稣就引用摩西五经里面的一句话。
So then Jesus used one verse from the Pentateuch.
他说你们不明白圣经，如果你们真正明白圣经的话，这一句话就可以证明是有复活的呀。
If you really believe in the Bible, then this one verse will lead you to believe that there is resurrection.
其实耶稣不是只引用这一句话，其实就是用那一句话中的一个字。
Actually, he didn't even use the entire verse. He only used one word in that verse.
而且那个字呢，只是用他的那个时态，就证明在神的话当中早已经告诉人是有复活这件事情。
And he's actually only using the tense of that word to explain that that there is resurrection according to the Bible.
哪个字哪个时态呢？我们读一下哈。这是耶稣回答他们的话，说：“论到死人复活，你们没有念过摩西的书荆棘篇上所载的吗？神对摩西说：‘我是亚伯拉罕的神，以撒的神，雅各的神。’”
And which verse and which word and which tense?Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
这是记载在摩西五经第二本书出埃及记里面的一句话。
And this is what is recorded in the second book of the Pentateuch in Exodus.
是耶和华神向摩西在那个荆棘燃烧的荆棘面前显现的时候讲的一句话。
God revealed himself to Moses among the burning bush, and that's what he said to Moses.
这句话怎么能够证明有复活这件事情呢？
How can it prove that there is resurrection?
因为大家知道哈，到摩西这个时代，亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各早就死了。
Because at the time of Moses, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all died.
早在三四百年、四五百年之前，这三个这个犹太人的先祖早已经死了。
And all the 400-500 years ago, the three of them had already died.
但几百年之后，当神向摩西显现的时候呢，他却说：“我是亚伯拉罕的神，以撒的神，雅各的神。”
But yet, 400-500 years later, when God spoke to Moses, he said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob."
这个证明就在“我是”这个词上。
And it's really proved in the word "am."
而且就在“我是”这个词的时代上面，时态上面。
And it's also in the tense of that word.
耶稣是这个耶和华神对摩西讲话的时候是用的现在时态，就是说我现在是亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各的神。
And he's using the present tense. It is I currently am the God of Abraham.
如果亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各已经死了，而且没有复活的生命的话，那这个时态应该用过去时。
And if Abraham and all these other people died and didn't resurrect, then he should have been using past tense.
但神没有说我曾经是这三个人的神，而说我现在是，现在仍然是亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各的神。
And so, but God didn't say I was the God of Abraham. He said I am and still am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.
所以，如果我们读懂这句话的时候，我们应该知道，在摩西那个时代，虽然人看不见亚伯拉罕、以撒、雅各，但这三个人还活着。
So we knew that even at the time of Moses, that those three individuals still exist.
他们人虽然肉体死了，但是他们灵魂的灯并没有灭哦。
So the physical body had died, but yet their spiritual life has still lives on.
他们依然活在上帝的面前。
They still live in front of God.
哦，这是耶稣读圣经的方法。他不仅读到这句话读得很。这个很仔细，而且把那个字，把那个字的时态都读得很仔细，因为他知道神的话一点一画都是可靠。
So Jesus read God's words very carefully. He knew that every single stroke of it means something. So he read the entire verse carefully, including the word, then the tense.
耶稣还告诉他们说，之所以他们不能够相信复活的事情，不仅是他们读不懂圣经，第二个原因就是他们不明白上帝的大。
And the reasons is not only because they don't read the Bible carefully, and also it's because they don't understand God's power.
神不是死人的神，神是活人的神。
God is not a God of dead people, but a God of living men.
一个能够说有就有，命立就立，从无中造出有的这位神， 使一个死去的人从死里复活，又有什么难的呢？
And God is a God that creates things out of nothing, and he's, whatever he says is created. And so to have somebody be resurrected, how difficult could that be?
既然神是有这样的能力，而且神已经早在圣经里面告诉我们人是有复活的生命的话，那谁在那个复活之后的生命当中掌权呢？
And so if God has already told us that that he has the power and that there is resurrection, then how can we not believe it?
所以信徒跟随耶稣基督的人不光是在今生活着的时候在跟随耶稣基督，顺从上帝的主权。
So not only do we follow his authority in this life,
即使我们离开这个世界，进入到永恒的世界当中，上帝的掌权依然没有改变。
And when we leave this world and enter into the next eternal life, then God's final authority still reigns.
上帝的主权不光是在人的身上完全的掌权。
God's authority doesn't just manifest on people.
而且这种的绝对的主权是不受时间限制。
And this absolute authority is not limited by time.
一直持续到永恒当中。
It will last forever into eternity.
在地上，婚姻的关系应该是最亲密的关系。
On earth, the relationship of marriage is the most intimate relationship.
当然，今天婚姻也带来很多人生的痛苦。
Today, marriages can bring a lot of suffering.但
即使是照着神当初的设计，最完美的婚姻也不过是暂时的有限。
But yet, in God's original design, even the most perfect marriage is still only a temporary relationship.
借着这个机会，耶稣告诉我们说，地上上帝所设计的当中最亲密的那种最甜美的夫妻关系啊，到永恒当中都不存在。
And Jesus was using the opportunity to tell us this most intimate relationship that God has set up will not exist anymore in eternity.
人复活以后，不再娶，也不再嫁了。
After we are resurrected, we no longer marry.
人与人之间的关系将被一个全新的关系所代替了。
We will have a brand new relationship between man and man.
然而在即使在那里，上帝的主权都没有改变的。
But yet, God's authority didn't change.
上帝的主权不受时间的限制。
God's authority is not limited by time.
好，接下来又进入到第三段，是讲了回应这个文士的问题，什么是最大的诫命
？And now the third passage is a response to the scribe's question of what is the greatest commandment.
耶稣直接回答哈，第一要紧的就是说，以色列啊，你要听主我们神是独一的主，你要尽心、尽性、尽意、尽力爱主你的神。
The most important one answer Jesus is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
其次就是说要爱人如己，再没有比这两条诫命更大的了。
The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
既然上帝对人的那个主权是绝对的，而且不受时间限制，人对神的最自然的最正确的一种反应就是尽心尽意的去爱他。
Since God's authority to man is not limited by time, then the most appropriate response of man is to love him with all our mind and all our strength and all our heart and all our soul.
上帝不是用一种命令式吩咐的方式让我们去好像被迫之下去爱他。
God didn't really use a commandment to force us to love him.
因为上帝彰显爱的方式是用耶稣基督钉十字架的这种方法。
Because the way that God manifests His love is to have Jesus die on the cross for us.
如果我们不明白耶稣基督的十字架的爱的话，我们就没有能力去回应他的爱。
If we don't understand the love of Jesus on the cross, then there is no way for us to respond to it.
我们就没有办法做到尽心尽意尽力的全然的全人的去爱他。
Then we can no longer love him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength to love him.
只有当有一天我们心里真的明白了，耶稣是的，拥有我们的一切，他是主哦。
And only one day when we realize that he really owns everything in us.
但他来却不是来辖制我们的。
But he's not come here to rule us.
他来是要来爱我们的。
He comes to love us.
他有权柄审判我们的罪哦，我们一切的 人前人后人知人不知的都呈现在他的面前。
He has the power and authority to judge all our sins that are obvious or hidden.
无所不在、无所不知的上帝，他完全有这个权柄可以审判你我。
The God who is everywhere and knows everything can judge all of us.
但他第一次来的时候却不来审判我。
But yet, the first time he came, he didn't come to judge us.
去替我们去钉十字架，替我们去死。
But he died for us and was nailed on the cross for us.
他知道我们的罪，却依然要救赎我们，要为我们赎罪。
He knew about our sins, but yet he's willing to die for our sins to redeem us.
他不仅爱他的朋友，爱他的，也爱他的仇敌，为逼迫他的人在十字架上迫切的求神祷告。
He loved not just his friends, but also his enemies. On the cross, he prayed for those who persecuted him.
耶稣基督是天国的君王，他拥有一切的权柄。
He is the King of Heaven, and he has all the authority.
但他是怎么使用他的权柄的呢？
But how did he use his authority?
他在那个至高无上的那个神的儿子的地位上，是怎么对待我们这些渺小的人的呢？
From his highest position as the Son of God, how did he treat us minuscule men?
他的主权、他的地位、那种超越的生命，却成了一个爱我们的一种表达。
But yet his life becomes a manifestation of his love towards us.
他说人子来不是来受人的服侍。
He said, man, the Son of God didn't come to be served.
乃是要服侍。
What to serve?
还要做多人的赎价。
He's going to become a salvation and redemption for many.
地上的人常常滥用我们的权柄。
A lot of people like to abuse their own authority.
有一点权呢，讲话不得了。
If they have just a little bit of power, they will start to use it.
今天不用这个权，明天就过期作废了。
If I don't use it today, tomorrow I may not have that.
所以常常我们在地上受到这种的负面的这种的信息的影响，我们对这种权柄有的时候会失去一种的信心。
And because of all these negative examples, sometimes we lose faith in authority.
但是当我们真正明白十字架的时候，当我们真正看到耶稣基督那个生命的彰显的时候，我们就看到另外一种使用权柄去爱的生命。
But yet, when we truly understand the cross and we know about how people can use authority to love,
那个主人服下来为他的门徒、为他的仆人们洗脚的一种的生命。
It's a life that, as a master who would kneel down and start washing the feet of his disciples and servants.
当他有权柄、有自由的时候，他不是去管辖别人、命令别人，而是服下身子来服侍那些最卑微的人。
When he has authority, he didn't come to rule us, but he would humble himself to serve others.
这是为什么在神绝对的权柄之下，人的最自然的反应，效法耶稣基督的样式，就是爱神。
So that's why the most appropriate response in light of God's absolute authority is to love God and also love others.
而且这两件事情是分不开的。
And those two things cannot be separated.
我们说我们要爱神。
We said we want to love God.
这一句话绝对不是只是对上帝讲的。
It's not just saying that to God.
不只是坐在神的身上的。
It's not just to do it onto God.
它的一个具体的表达就表达在爱人的上面。
The concrete manifestation is to do it to others.
我们亲近神、爱神，把我们时间、精力拿出来奉献给神，是因为要从神那里领受那种的基督的爱。
And when we love God, we serve Him, and we want to receive His love.
然后用这种爱去表达去爱我们身边的人。
And then manifest it as loving others.
就约翰就跟我们讲说，如果你只说爱神、爱神、爱神，却不爱你的弟兄的话，你爱神都是假的。
And John said, if you just say, I love God, but you really don't love your brothers, then your love is fake.
反过来讲，你爱人的话，又不仅仅是坐在人的身上。
And turn it around, if you love people, you're not just doing it unto people.
如果我们不明白基督的爱的话，你爱人爱人你都爱不下去。
If you say you don't really understand and love God, then you really cannot continue to love people.
所以爱人这件事情要跟爱神这件事情紧紧地连在一起，是不能分开的。
So love God and love man, those two things have to be closely related to one another and cannot be separated.
这是我们明白了神的爱、基督的爱之后一个很自然的生命的表达。
and as a natural response after we truly understand God's love.
好，接下来耶稣就挑战他们了，他们没有问题，不敢再问耶稣了。耶稣就问他们说，文士怎么说基督是大卫的子孙呢？大卫被圣灵感动说，主对我主说，你坐在我的右边，等我使你仇敌坐你的脚凳。
And after they have finished all the questions and didn't ask Jesus any more questions, Jesus actually now challenged them and said, while Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, why did the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.
犹太人在等待神所应许的弥赛亚的降临。
Jews have been waiting for the Messiah to come.
他们知道这个基督呢要被称为大卫的子孙。
They know that the Christ,will be called the son of David.
所以当他们呼喊说，大卫的子孙的时候，实际上就在呼喊神所差遣来的那个基督，那个救主。
So when they call on the son of David, they're calling on the Messiah.
那大卫的子孙就是这个基督，是从大卫这个支系生出来的。
And so this Messiah is going to come from the line of David.
那他既然是大卫的子孙，大卫的后裔，为什么大卫要称这位基督为他的主呢？
So if this Christ is the descendant of David, then why would David call him the Lord?
这就是主耶稣基督在这里引用诗篇110篇经文里所说的。
And so this is Jesus quoting Psalm 110.
就是大卫被圣灵感动说，主父神，对我主就是基督说。
And so David said, speak by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord.
Yeah, 这个我主就是大卫对这位基督的称呼。
And so David was calling this Messiah my Lord.
基督要坐在父神的右边，等待父神使基督的仇敌做基督的脚凳。
Christ would be sitting at the right hand of God and waiting for his enemies to be put under his feet.
为什么他又是大卫的子孙，大卫又称他为主呢？
How is it that Christ can be the descendant of David, but yet David has to call him my Lord?
没有人能答得出来。
Nobody could answer.
但是我们今天知道。
But no, now we know.
这位耶稣基督道成肉身，借着大卫一代一代生出来的这位耶稣，就是那个大卫所称的那个主，就是那个基督。
And Christ is Word become flesh. He is descended from the line of David, but yet he is also the Son of God.
自有拥有的上帝的儿子。在某一个时间点上取了人的样式，道成肉身来到世上。
The Son of the Eternal God, Word become flesh, chose a point in time to become man.
所以从人的家谱来看，耶稣是大卫的子孙。
From man's genealogy, he is the son of David.
但是他又是永在的神的儿子。
But he is also the son of the Eternal God.
所以大卫又称他为主。
So David has to call him my Lord.
所以在整个这个公开讲论的最后一段的时候，耶稣还是在向人宣告说，他就是基督。
And so in this last disposition of Jesus, Jesus is declaring that he is the Son of God.
而且让人知道上帝这个绝对的主权，不受人种的限制，不受时间的限制的这种的绝对的主权，是借着谁彰显的呢？是借着基督彰显。
And God's complete authority is not limited by time or people, but is also manifested by Jesus.
基督是大卫的子孙。
Jesus is the son of David.
基督更是大卫的子孙。
Christ is also the Lord of David.
所以耶稣基督是上帝那个绝对的权柄在地上的彰显。
So Christ is really the manifestation of God's authority and reign.
他一来到地上就说，天国近了，你们要悔改。
And when he first came, he said, the kingdom of God is near, you have to repent.
那是一个天国的君王的身份来到地上，向世人宣告神的国度降临。
He's coming as the king of the heaven, and he's asking people to repent.
复活以后要离开地上的时候，他说，天上地下所有的权柄都赐给我。
After you're resurrected and go to heaven, then all the power and authority in heaven has been given to me.
所以从始至终，耶稣要让人知道他就是那个神绝对主权爱的样式的彰显。
And from beginning to end, Jesus wanted people to understand that he's the manifestation of God's absolute authority and power.
好，最后 耶稣就到这个奉献金钱的地方观看。
And then lastly, Jesus looked at the example of offering.
当他看到那个寡妇将两个小钱，就是一个大钱，放到奉献箱里的时候，他讲了这一段话。
Jesus said the following when he observed this widow who put two small copper coins into the box.
圣经记载是很仔细的。
The Bible has described it very detailedly.
是两个小钱。
Two small copper coins.
等于一个大钱。
Equal to one bigger coin.
但她奉献的不是一个大钱。
She's not offering one big coin.
是两个小钱。
Two small copper coins.
两个小钱她可以奉献一个留一个哦。
If she has two small copper coins, she can offer one and keep one.
她自己不足，她有自己生活上的需要哦。
She doesn't have anything, she has her life needs.
但是她有两个小钱，她就把两个小钱都投到奉献箱里。
But yet, when she has two small copper coins, she put both of them in there.
所以耶稣就对门徒说了哈，我实在告诉你们，这穷寡妇投入库里的比众人所投的更多，因为他们都是自己有余拿出来投在里头，但这寡妇是自己不足，把她一切养生的都投上。
Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on.
所以从这件事情上我们可以看到什么呢？第一个，我们看上帝在看哦。
What can we see from this passage? First, God is looking.
耶稣坐在那里，看到有钱的人奉献，也看到这个穷寡妇的奉献。
Jesus saw the rich man offering as well as the widow offering.
上帝关注人是怎么奉献的。
God pays attention to how people offer.
我们不是每次聚会都传奉献袋。
We don't pass an offering bag around every meeting.
我们把奉献箱摆在门口。
We put the offering box at the door.
有些弟兄姐妹是在网上，通过网络的方式去奉献。
Some people offer through online.
有些弟兄姐妹根本就是设定一个自动的程序哈，每次这个工资进来哈，自动的十分之一奉献给谁。
And some people do it automatically with a wage deduction and automatically tithing.
所以这些的方式哈，现在越来越方便了。
And now all these things becoming more and more convenient.
不管你怎样，通过什么样方式的奉献，大家知道哈，神都在看。
It doesn't matter in which way you offer. Remember, God is watching.
而且上帝看的，他看的不是那个绝对的数量哦。
God is not looking just at the absolute amount.
不只是奉献的数量，还是看奉献的人的那个心态。
But it's also at the attitude of the dedication.
这个寡妇，她能够把自己不足养生的那仅剩的两个小钱，能够放到奉献箱里。
This widow can give the two small copper coins that is all she had to live on.
绝对的数目来讲太少。
From an absolute amount point of view, it's very little.
那些有钱的人叮叮当当哈，很多的钱可以投到奉献箱里。
The rich people can offer a lot of money, clinking and clanking.
但偏偏这两个小钱的奉献得了上帝的称许。
But yet the two small copper coins received the praise of God.
从另外一个角度来讲，上帝看的不是说你奉献了多少，而是看到你留下多少。
And from a different perspective, God is not looking at how much you offer, but how much you leave behind.
而且在这个留下多少的背后，是表现出这个奉献的人的一种的信心或者没有信心。
And then from what is left behind, you can see the attitude, whether his faith or lack thereof.
当这个穷寡妇都不为人注意哦，她走过那一段大概一分钟半分钟的时间哈，没有人注意到这个穷寡妇她所做的事情，但是上帝在看。
But in the half minute that the widow took to offer, maybe nobody else paid attention, but God did.
而且上帝看到这个穷寡妇背后的那个信心。
And then God saw the faith behind the widow's offering.
她没有说什么。
Didn't say anything.
但上帝知道。这个穷寡妇是全然信靠那个养活她的上帝。
God didn't say anything, but he knew that this widow has the complete faith to rely on him.
所以出于信心的奉献讨了上帝的喜悦。
Offering through faith is pleasing to God.
在这一段里面就看到哈，最后用这个故事来结尾的时候，在讲说这个穷寡妇是信靠上帝绝对的主权，这是从始至终的主题哦。他信靠这种上帝的主权以后呢，把自己可以全然的献给神，他成了一个好的榜样。
So this poor widow was a good example of trusting in God's absolute ownership and giving herself completely to God.
大家还记得上一次我们读的那个凶恶的园户吗？
Do you remember what we talked about last time about those evil tenants?
整个十二章开始以这个凶恶的园户的比喻开始的。
The chapter 12 started with the example of the evil tenants.
他们把上帝的这个葡萄园租下来了。
They've rented this orchard.
有最好的树，葡萄树。
The best vine.
这个篱笆都建好了。
Fence has been built.
这个挖酒池也做好了。
And all the channels have been built.
观望的楼上，这个主人也都预备好了。
And all the mass is ready.
这个树会很自然地结出许多的葡萄来。
And all the vine would naturally give to a lot of fruit.
它拥有这么丰富。
He owns a lot.
但是当主人来收这个葡萄的时候，他们竟然拒绝交葡萄。
But yet, when the master came to collect, he would refuse them.
拒绝这个主人的要求。
To refuse this master's request.
仆人打了，羞辱了，杀了。
And they would insult and even kill those messengers.
最后甚至把这个主人的儿子爱子也给杀了。
And in the end, even kill the son of the master.
相比之下呢，这个穷寡妇什么也没有。
And in opposite, this widow has nothing.
但是她里面竟然有这样的对上帝的良善的认定，对上帝的这个忠心的一种的回应，就是把她仅有的奉献给神。
But yet she has this faithful response to God and offer what she had.
所以大家看到吗？整个这一段就是围绕着上帝的主题，把这五段的故事都连在一起了。
And so it is all surrounding God's authority and to kind of interrelate all these five messages.
纳税的事是讲神在人的身上，每个人的身上都有绝对的主权。
It's really talking about God has absolute authority.Over men.
复活的事情告诉我们说，这个主权是持续到永恒的。
And the matter of the resurrection is telling us its authority lasts into eternity.
耶稣讲了一个最大的诫命，告诉我们说，我们对于上帝的主权和爱的最自然、最正确的回应，就是要尽心、尽意、尽力的去爱主我们的神。
And the great this commandment discussion is talking about the most appropriate response to God's final authority.Is to love God and love men.
如果我们真正的接受了前面的两点，他的绝对的主权还是永远的主权的话，我们最自然的回应就应该是爱神爱人。
And if we accept the first two premises that God has absolute authority and also it lasts into eternity, then our natural response is to love Him and love men.
而且这是有一个很具体的对象的，是借着对耶稣基督的跟随和敬拜表达出来。
And it's also there's a very concrete example is to follow.And obey Jesus.
最后借着这个穷寡妇的这个奉献的例子，给我们一个具体的一个榜样，怎样去做。
And also finally through the offering of the widow is to tell us a concrete example of how we can do all of that.
我把这整个一段放在一起，十二章来看更清楚了。
And if we put it all together in the entire chapter 12, then it becomes even clearer.
穷寡妇的奉献的榜样反衬出那个恶园户门的那种行为的恶。
And the offering of the widow would then be contrasted with the bad example of the evil tenants.
在耶稣讲完那个比喻之后，引用那个匠人所砌的那个石头成为房角的头块石头，引用圣经的话说，耶稣基督就是那个匠人所砌的石头，就是那个故事中的主人的爱子。
And so when Jesus talked about the cornerstone that is rejected by the builders,And is really talking about Jesus is the Son of God.
上帝是通过把他的爱子送来收取这个葡萄的这个方式来彰显神跟人的这种的关系。
And the Son of God being sent by the Master is really talking about the example of God sending His Son.
结尾的时候，耶稣再次引用圣经的话，诗篇一百一十篇，告诉人说，这位耶稣就是那位大卫的子孙，也是大卫的主。
And also in that passage about Jesus being the son of David, and also at the same time is the Lord of David.
借着这个纳税的辩论告诉人说，既然我们所有的一切都是属于上帝的，上帝有主权，我们一切都应该归给神。
And through the example of the paying taxes, we talked about how we should offer everything to God.
借着这个最大的诫命的讲论，告诉人人应该尽心尽力爱神爱人。
And through the discussion of the greatest commandment, that we should love God with all our heart and all our soul.
中间就是提醒我们，这是没有结束的。
And then in the middle, it was talking about it didn't end here.
复活是真的。
Resurrection is real.
我们不仅在地上要向神来负责。
Not only we have to be responsible towards God on earth.
有一天我们会进到永恒啊，直接面对面见到神的。
One day we'll enter eternity and face God.
我们预备好向上帝交账。
We have to be prepared to give account to Him.
所以从上一次我们读到的经文，一直到这次讲论的结尾，虽然这些人试图设各样的陷阱来陷害耶稣，但耶稣在至始至终在讲一件事情。
Even though through the entire chapter there are people setting traps for Jesus, but throughout the entire chapter Jesus has one central message.
就是我们要认定在我们的身上，上帝有绝对的主权。
That we need to understand that God has complete authority over us.
他是主。
He is Lord.
我们是什么？
Who are we?
管家。
We are the stewards.
我们再说一遍哈。他是什么？他是主。
Who is he? He's Lord.
我是什么？我是管家。
We are stewards.
大家可以看到这里的水吗？
Can you see the water here?
这个罐子里装很多水，能看到吗？
You can see a lot of water in there.
已经满满的了。
It's pretty full.
我再加一点呢。
I'm going to add a little bit more.
哦，再加会有什么结果？
What would happen if I add more?
这个水罐子哦，代表着我们人的生命。
This urn, this vase represents lives.
罐子里装的水代表着上帝给我们生命当中一切的赐福。
The water inside represents all the blessings that God has given us.
给我们生命，给我们家庭，给我们儿女，给我们生活所需要的一切。
He's given us family, children, everything that we own.
但是如果这个罐子只是一味的接收、接收、接收的话，总有一天会满的。
And if we only focus on receiving and receiving, one day it's going to be full.
如果满了以后，我们心里还不知足，还要往里去领受的话，带来的结果就是浪费。
And if we just keep on receiving, then the end result will be waste.
我们必须要学会把我们所从神那里领受的恩典不断地分给别人。
We need to learn how we would share what we receive from God with others.
倾倒出去，我们才有更大的空间，不让神的恩典浪费，而是在我们的生命当中产生更多的好果子。
So only when we pour it out, we will have room to receive so that there will be bear more fruit.
所以我们千万不要让我们的生命变成这个水罐子的样子。
So we cannot let our lives become like this vase.
所求的就是多，再多，再多，不停的领受，领受，领受，领受。
And all we ask is to have more, receive more.
盼望我们的生命像这个水瓶一样。
May our lives be this pouring jug.
一方面领受神的恩典，一方面倾倒出神的恩典。
At the same time that we will receive and pour out.
不光是我们物质的生命如此。
It's not just about material things.
我们属灵的生命也是如此。
Same thing for our spiritual life.
如果我们一个人读经、读经、读经，读了几十年，还在那里读经的话
，If we just read the Bible and read the Bible for decades,
从来没有人因为你的读经而受益的话
，If nobody ever received any benefit because of reading the Bible,
参加灵修早晨的灵修聚会也好
，If you attend the morning devotion.
参加我们周五的查经也好。
Or if you attend our Friday Bible study.
参加我们各个小组的查经聚会也好。
Or fellowship Bible studies.
我们主日学也好。
And also our Sunday school.
其实，在我们的教会有许多的机会，让我们一方面领受，一方面给予。
And actually, our church has many opportunities for us to receive and to give.
所以在读经的事情上，我们一定要学会去分享。
So, and we read the Bible, we need to learn how to share.
服事的事情上也是这样吗？
Same thing as we serve.
我们不能只是坐在那里领受、领受、领受别人的服事哦。
We cannot just sit here and receive and receive other people's service.
神给我们每一个人都有恩赐，都有能力去服事别人的哦。
God has given us gifts and ability to serve others.
一方面，我们带着感恩的心接受别人的服事。
At the same time, we receive others' people's service. With gratitude,
一方面呢，我们也要把我们的时间、 把我们的经历，把我们从神那里拿领受的恩赐拿出来去服侍别人。
And at the same time, we need to use our time and resources to serve others.
我们教会就是这样一个上帝所设立的一个身体。
Our church is the body set up by God.
一方面给大家机会啊，在这里领受上帝的祝福。
And one time we would receive God's blessing.
另一方面，我们能够付出去服侍别人。
At the same time, we can give and serve others.
感谢主啊，这就是我们读完这一段我们应该有的一个结论啊，上帝的绝对主权要求我们这些做门徒的哈，献上我们的所有是出于什么？出于对上帝和灵舍的最大的爱。
And that's the conclusion as we read these passages, that God's absolute ownership demands the disciples to give all out of the greatest love for God and neighbor.
今天我们来到饼杯的面前。
Today as we come before the bread and the cup,
当我们再次纪念主的时候，
When we remember the Lord,
愿主的爱再次来浇灌我们的心中。
May God's love once again be poured out in our hearts.
让我们这个人成为这个水瓶哦。
May we become this vase.
先来到神的面前领受。
First come to God to receive.
然后带着基督的爱去给予。
And then with God's love to give.
让大家一起来预备我们的心，准备领用饼杯。
Let's prepare our hearts to receive the bread and the cup.
那之前呢，我们先来唱一首回应的诗歌。
And let's first sing a song of response.
叶蒙姊妹来带领我们。
And Donna will lead us.